The John B. Wells Show on WHIR.
So now, we welcome back to the program Minister Fred Coulter. AFaithfulVersion.org is where you can obtain a faithful version of the Holy Bible, all the original books in the original order. Also, truthofgod.org and churchathome.org. If you don't have a regular church, but you'd like to go to church, but you just, maybe for one reason or another, you can't, or you can't find one that's for you, try churchathome.org. And we have some things to discuss tonight, so without further ado, let us welcome him back to the program, Minister Fred Coulter. Good evening.
Yeah, thanks a lot, John. Glad to be back. How you doing?
Doing all right, doing all right. I've noticed that nothing is as insulting. Solzhenitsyn was right. There is nothing as insulting to an evildoer than the truth. Oh, they hate it when you do that to them. They really, really don't like it. And I was wondering if I could ask you about, in light of this recent election, how you see God's hand at work in the outcome, and do you believe this result aligns with biblical prophecy or signals a shift in America's spiritual direction?
That's a good question. And I actually have a letter coming out that everyone can get on truthofgod.org. And also, before we get into it, you can get a Bible, plus you can get some excellent books free, no cost, because just like it's time for truth in politics, it's way past time for truth from the pulpit.
Yes.
Now, what I've written up here is this, is that we've been facing a lot of problems, spiritual, economic, governmental, and societal, and the people chose, because what happened in America was the hand of God, because the people chose. Because we're right smack in the middle of being judged by God, and he has given us a choice what we need to do. And so the people chose, that is the majority of people, not to continue to go headlong into more lawlessness. Now, this turnaround, as we're looking at it now, is really not repentance unto salvation, but it's enough repentance, enough change to hold back God's hand of judgment against us because of our sins. Now, also, we need to look at Donald Trump, and there's a lot of evidence that Donald Trump's life was changed through what he went through. He had all those illegal lawfares against him, and then two assassination attempts. Now, here is what God gave him. God gave him protection from it. Now, I don't know if you remember seeing that picture in slow motion of the head of Donald Trump and a bullet passing by and clipping his ear. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah. Now, that last movement of his head, I believe, had to be the hand of an angel to keep from having his head blown off. And so, after all of that was done and everything, and he was able to get to the Republican National Convention, the first thing he said, quote, "I stand before you tonight by the grace of Almighty God." So his life was changed with that. Now, he also said this. He said, "My faith took on new meaning on July 13th in Butler. I was knocked to the ground by what seemed like a supernatural hand. I would like to think God saved me." And he said things like this over and over again, so that is good. Now, God has more for us to do as a nation, and it can't continue the way it was. Now, he also said this, "As I look at my life's journey and events," now this shows he's been doing thinking, he's been doing praying, "I now realize that it's been the hand of God leading me to where I am today." Now, whether that is unto conversion or not, That's for God to decide. But we have an example of this in the book of Daniel, where Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that God is the one who raises up kings and puts down kings and nations and so forth. And then Nebuchadnezzar, that was quite a thing that he went through, that he did. Then he got all lifted up in his vanity. And he said, oh, look at this great Babylon that I have made. And God struck him down, and he was out of his mind for 7 years, and he was actually eating grass with the cattle. And when the 7 years were over, he was a changed man. Now, let me read what it says here in Daniel, the 4th chapter, what Nebuchadnezzar said. Now, he wrote the 4th chapter of the book of Daniel by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that's interesting because the image that he saw of head of gold and silver and brass and iron and clay and iron and toes and feet and everything, that pictured the major empires of the world from that time until the return of Jesus Christ. So what he did here in chapter 4, let me read you just first couple of verses here. Nebuchadnezzar the king to all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth. Now that was a prophecy toward the end time. See? He didn't know that, but it was. So he said, it seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And then he explained what happened. And then he was driven for 7 years to be with the cattle and to eat grass. Now then, he was there, and when he came to himself, so that he could learn that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he wills. So here is what Nebuchadnezzar said when he came back to his senses to understand what he went through. Now, it's just like this nation today. We've had so much crime, we've had so much death, we've had so many immigrants coming in, we've had so many things going on, corrupt politicians, corrupt everything, and there seems to be a change, much like Nebuchadnezzar said of himself here. So he writes this. He said, at the end of my days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. And he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand, nor to say, what are you doing? And he said here, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. And Donald Trump had kind of a situation, I think, just like that with the assassination attempts against him. And the American people have had it with having God's judgment come upon us. God wants to know, what are we going to do? Because the judgment of God has come upon us because of our sins, because of our politics, and because of our lies from the pulpit and the religions that we have here in America, especially Christianity, the way it is here in America. Now, I brought this up before, but we need to look at it again. So he says this. And Jeremiah 18 and verse 7. He says, if at any time I speak, so God is watching, looking, judging, understanding what's going on. He knows the truth. He knows the error. He knows the lies. He knows all of the things that are going on. And he also tells us that if a sparrow falls, he knows it. So nothing can be hidden from God. Speak concerning a nation, a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it. Now, we are right on the precipice of that happening to America. And it still may happen, but it may be pushed off a little bit further because the American people have decided not to continue in lawlessness as they have been, the way that it has been going. So he says here, if the nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do to them. And so I think we have experienced that with this election. It's not unto salvation, but it is to have more peace, more security, and to do things right. Now, it's going to be a struggle because the Democrats are going to fight every way. Then he goes on to show that if a nation is doing good, if it turns to sin, then he will judge against it. Now, let's look at something here very important in the book of Proverbs. Let's see how God looks at life. All right? Now, all of us stand before God. We're judged one way or the other every day, everything we do, whether we are good, whether we are evil, whether we believe the truth, whether we believe the things that are wrong, whether we're lawless, whether we're law-abiding, all of those things. And remember one important truth. Nothing in the world works right, down to the very smallest thing, if it's not done correctly or done in truth.
Yes.
So there's one time my wife brought home a wagon that she brought for us to use in the yard. And so I looked at the picture of it, and I looked at it, and I put it together, and guess what? I didn't put it together right. So I had to take it all apart and do it all over again. Perfect example. You have got to have it right. Now, in religion, it's got to be the truth. And truth must prevail in your life in everything that you do. Now, here are six things that God says he hates. Seven are abomination to him. A proud look, that's what Nebuchadnezzar had. A lying tongue, that's what too many of the politicians and religionists have. Hands that shed innocent blood, we're experiencing that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, that's all the wokeness and everything that we've been going through. Feet that are swift to running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And he who sows discord among the brethren. Let's look at a couple things concerning lies, because lies become very devastating. Here we'll come to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10. Let's look at verse 9. He who walks uprightly, he who uprightly walks surely, but he who perverts his way shall be known. And then it shows here that the sinful lie. Now, let's come to John, the 8th chapter, because this becomes really important for us to understand and how it works, because all of the religious leaders, the big religious leaders during Jesus' time, were following their own instructions. They were following their own ways. They were believing lies. They weren't believing him, and they professed, some of them professed in him. Now, this becomes important here. Yes. John the 8th chapter, he said this. Now, there were those who believed in him. Now, to believe in him in the way that the Bible says means you must keep believing in him and understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Now, these Jews, they said, well, we believe in you. But he told them, verse 31, if you continue in my word. Now, Jesus spoke the truth. Jesus said we're to live by every word of God, and we are to continue in it. We are to walk in it. We are to believe in it. We are to think with it. And all of those things are part of what we need to do if we're going to be true Christians. He said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Now, we will see that means being set free of Satan the devil. So every one of us need to answer the question, how much truth do I have in my life? How much do I believe in the God of truth? Now, or we can put it another way. How many lies have entered into what should be the truth, but you think they're the lies that you believe are true? Now, that's particularly noticeable in all of the woke things that we've been experiencing recently. Those are all based on lies, especially where children can change their gender. That is a complete, absolute satanic lie and totally irresponsible. They cannot do it because every one of us have all of our genes and chromosomes, and that is particular from God for us as individuals. Now then, they went on to say that, we're Abraham's seed. Well, Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is the servant of sin. So that's what we have to look at our life. What is sin? Well, a lot of people, especially in religion, say, well, you have to ask God to forgive your sin. But what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the laws of God. And you have to repent of that. Repent of living contrary to the laws of God. Now, the laws of God are good. The laws of God are a blessing. The laws of God are to help you have a sound mind, to have you have a long life, to help you have health and all of that, and to be able to give you the way to think correctly so that you are a very productive individual. Now, Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders, and he said to them, if you were God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. I did not come of myself, but he sent me. Then he said, why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words. And that's what it is when people believe lies. Just like these wokes, just like those who say, well, Trump got in and I'm going to leave the country. They can't stand to hear it. Well, let's see what Jesus said here. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot bear to hear my words. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice. And that's all the sin collectively, individually, governmentally, educational, religious, all of that. That all stands there. And the devil, he did not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. All right, now, let's come clear over here to the small epistle of 1 John. Let's see something very interesting, because most of the religionists today in Christianity say, you don't have to keep the law. Well, the law is what God gave, so we won't be living in sin. Now, let me read these verses to you here in 1 John, the second chapter, because this helps clarify why we need truth from the pulpit. See? And there are a lot of pagan practices that they have put in there that they say that God is sanctified, where we find in the Bible that God never sanctified any of those practices that they say God did, because that's a lie. Now notice, 1 John 2 and verse 3, it says, by this standard we know him, There are a lot of people who say they know Jesus, but here is the standard. If we keep his commandments, the one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now then, he says, everyone who is keeping his word, the love of God is perfected in him. Now then, this is important. You need to ask the question, how much truth are we doing? How many lies do we need to get rid of?
Pretty much all of them. Pastor, rather, Minister Coulter, thank you.